what's the first thing you liked about me?
I thought that you were quite brilliantly broken.
You feel like my person?
You feel like my person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I saw things. I shouldn't have seen any of it.
Another movie night. Hello, everybody. Hello. My name is Scott, and with me is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Scotty. Hi, everybody.
And we're just another movie night. Did you know that?
I knew it. Did you?
I think I knew it, but I wasn't sure. You know what today is?
It's new movie release day.
It's before and after reviews, where we'll go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after.
Spoiler free, of course.
Spoiler free. What's up, my love?
Nothing. I have a feeling it's going to be talking trash.
So we are going to see The Crow. Now, you know, this is a funny one, because I think this was dead on arrival. Because it's one of those movies that the lead actor passed away. And you really have a hard time, you know, pass away during the making of the movie, making it an iconic movie, because it had so much tragedy behind it. It had an amazing soundtrack, and it was an interesting story. So people kind of hold it dear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, what an uphill battle you have to remake that. So it's kind of already a no-way scenario. You know, there's like no win here. I have thoughts on that, but let's talk about the original movie and your love for it.
Well, I love the graphic novel, and I've had an obsession with the graphic novel for a long time. And, the whole story just means a lot to me. It always has meant a lot to me. And I get to meet James O'Barr, and it was like a really nice experience.
The creator.
Yes. And just the graphic novel was great. And then when I saw this movie, I saw The Crow, and it's not a perfect movie. It's not, when you think about it.
A lot of people think it is. They hold it dear.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say think it is. They see it as a perfect movie.
Yeah, I mean, they changed a lot from the graphic novel, you know, into the film adaptation. They did change a lot. But at the end of the day, we still had something that we could look at as, okay, this is pretty good. This is pretty close. They did a good job.
And it's also a product of its time. I think that's what I want to say here. Because when it was released, everything about that movie kind of touched on a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the music of the time, very heavy.
90s.
It's very present in that movie, like that score. And then you have that kind of gothic emo approach to the comic book movies that were just starting to boom. And that whole emo, punk rock, gothic vibe that was becoming very popular at the time. So you have so many things going for it. And that tragedy only made people want to see it more because they couldn't believe it, you know? And so it just was like a recipe for people to just adore it over time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, people of a certain age, this was a movie that was a certain age for them that became a nostalgic comfort food. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a movie that just this was a like a specific time for me, and I adore it regardless. And I get that. I think we all have movies like that. Some people can't do that, like, separation of what was like, oh, I like it, and I know it's comfort food, but I know it's also not that great. And then there's that whole subgroup where it's like, no, perfect, because this means something. And it can't even conversate. You know, like, there's no conversation on it whatsoever. I'm on that fence where it's like, I know it's a fun movie. It's a very good comic book film. And I hate saying that. It's a good film.
I was just going to bust you on that.
But I was going to say it's a good adaptation comic book film. You know, it's doing the source material pretty damn well. And it's kind of a rarity, especially in the 90s, for that success. I can name maybe a handful of movies that took the adaptation and did it good justice at that time in the 90s. Yeah. You know, not many. A lot of them were very unsuccessful. So this is one of those movies. And as much as we have that nostalgia for it, I don't think it's one of these movies that couldn't use more of an update or a kind of retelling of it. I think that's a possibility. It's not one of these movies where I see it and I go, you know, how dare they? Which we see so much these days, which I don't get. Like with It. And I guess that's a good reason to bring that one up, too, because it's the same actor. This guy, I feel bad for, because I actually think he's very talented.
I think he's talented, too. However, I feel like they could have called this movie literally anything else. But then again, the only reason that I'm a little pissed off and annoyed about it is because, first of all, I think he's getting typecast. I think he might be getting typecast with his ridiculous, like, he's always put in like makeup and stuff, you know, like I want him to be more himself, because I think he's a really good actor.
Well, being completely covered like Pennywise and then being an action star, I think is a far difference.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. He's still in makeup in this.
But he only has like some eyeshadow on. He's not going full white makeup.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. They didn't have to call this The Crow. But then again, they had City of Angels after that. Then they had the next one, which I forget what is that, for Edward Furlong, and they called it The Crow. But it wasn't Eric Draven, you know? It's like, I get it. If you're going to redo The Crow, you could do like anybody that, you know, make it a different guy. But they're making him Eric Draven. So it's Eric and Shelley. And that's just wrong to me. I just feel like that's wrong. I don't want to see that. They don't look right. So that's my problem right now.
I was like saying, like, the differences between, you know, like this idea that you can't do things and some people saying you can and can't. And I think it's interesting. I definitely think that it could use a reboot. Or it could tell a retelling was what I was getting at. And I do think that this actor is kind of fighting an uphill battle. I feel bad for him. But with that being said, if I had to do this movie, I would have been more clever and not have this be a retelling of the Eric Draven Crow story.
That's what I'm saying.
Like you were just talking about.
Yeah.
What I would have suggested is doing a new tale with a new crow, which has been done. It is literally the idea of The Crow is it happens over and over. And
yeah, they did it with Vincent Perez. They did it with Edward Furlong. They could do it with, you know, Skarsgård just fine. But I just feel like you can give them any other names on earth. It doesn't have to be Eric and Shelley.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that out. Sorry.
I was going to get there. I mean, that's how I feel. I don't know if James O'Barr's other comic, Razor, was that also a crow or was that just a separate comic?
I think so.
I always felt like that was a part of the Crow universe.
I never really, I had comics, but I never really got into the story.
Okay. Yeah, I was always interested in that. I was like, oh, because there's like other comic book series where people take up the mask. And there's a lot of popular ones. Ones that I cannot believe still haven't had their own adaptations in movies. Like, I think Grendel is another one. Where people, like, take up the mask through the era. Like, every decade, there's, like, a new version of him or her taking up this mask. And I've always thought that was really, really neat. And it could go on forever. It's like a James Bond, but having a continuity that does change. The Crow fits that narrative to me. Like, oh, this definitely could keep on with new people in new scenarios in new areas. There can be a connection, and there could be references that the last one, you know, there could be callbacks to it, which I kind of respect City of Angels for trying, bring the character grown up, the little girl.
Sarah?
Yeah, and that makes it work. But it's not necessarily needed because it's like it should take a very long time for these things to keep happening. And it would have been really, really smart on our part if they did say the original happened. This is kind of a sequel, you know, after this many years since that movie came out. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that would have been really smart on their part. And I do not know why they thought, no, we have to remake the original story. They had to have known people are going to be upset. Especially when you see the versions of the characters that we have here, where they're tattooed up all over their face, which has become a joke, you know, in a lot of pop culture, like, mediums. It's like, I know when, like, what's-his-face became the Joker.
Jared Leto.
And he everybody's all excited because Jared Leto doing the Joker seems like a really smart, clever person to do it. And then when they saw it and he was tattooed up and he was more like a, you know, people are making jokes about it. And I mean, there was so many memes. And here you are doing it again. I'm like, you guys don't learn any lessons or pay any attention to what people are chatting about.
Yeah, and it's pretty bad because I've watched a couple of reaction videos on YouTube of people watching the trailer, and everyone says the same thing. Like, dude, why do you have to make him look like the Joker? Like, I get it. Brandon Lee didn't have the exact look of Eric in the comic. He didn't, you know, he looked slightly different, but they still did pretty good. Like, they came as close as they possibly could, and I thought that it was beautiful, and it came out great. But here, that's what I'm saying. If you're calling him Eric Draven, there's no version of Eric Draven that looks like a freaking crackhead. Okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have a tough time telling the story of their love and why the Crow takes them, like, affects him. You know, they're going to have a tough time trying to sell that story where in the trailer, it kind of makes it seem like they're drug addicts and they met each other in some kind of jail or rehab. I'm not really sure. And I think that'll be a tough sell. You know, like when you get away from that pure feeling of love of the characters and having characters who aren't pure get this ability to do this. But I feel like they're going to do more diving into the cowboy. Is that what the character's called?
Okay, so the Skull Cowboy was cut out completely of the
original. It's in deleted scenes, though.
It is in the deleted scenes, but
poor Tony Todd.
I know. Damn. Yeah. He's so brilliant.
Yeah, and just gets cut out.
But yeah, if they do that, okay, fine. But is it really going to... They're taking away other things, you know? They're changing other things. So it's like, okay, if you add in one important part of the book, okay, great, thanks. But everything else has changed. You know, like, it just doesn't feel like the Shelley and Eric story that I have grown to love. Maybe I'll be proved wrong, but I mean, they didn't even keep anyone's names the same. You know, there's no T-Bird, there's no Tintin.
Well, we don't really know.
I mean,
we haven't seen it yet, so we can't even judge. I will say what I did notice that's very in the trailer is that the villain has superpowers.
Okay.
That's interesting. That seems a little weird. Could be interesting. I don't know. I mean, what it looks like to me is they took some elements of things that were kind of popular and they were like, yeah, we'll make it John Wick with the crow and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I think that it sounds like we probably are agreeing here that we're not excited. I get excited to see these movies only because I want to either be proved wrong or I want to be so shocked by how bad it is. So I always get excited by that scenario.
Well, I can tell you that I'm not excited at all. I barely even want to see this movie, but the only reason I want to see it is because I just need to know.
This is funny because I said to you, hey, three movies are coming out, and one of them, you know, I know you probably don't want to see, but there's two horror movies coming out at the same time. And you said, oh, we have to see The Crow.
Well, I have to because I know that everyone's wanting our opinion on this particular movie.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean... Especially because everyone who knows me knows how much I love this story.
Yeah.
So going into this, I'm just like, God damn it. And I do feel bad for Bill Skarsgård because he is a good actor, but he's going to be typecast. And I think this is going to hurt his career. I think this movie is going to flop and I think it's going to hurt his career.
Yeah, he hasn't been doing very well. He did another movie this year that wasn't in theaters very long, where he doesn't even get to use his own voice. They dub him.
That's what I'm saying. He's always hidden, and we know that he's a good actor, but they always hide him some way in makeup or whatever. It's like, okay, first of all, you need to put him front and center, and him, not just, you know, a face full of makeup and some, you know, greased up hair or whatever you're doing and some face tattoos. No, just stop it already. This guy's going to be typecast.
It's a shame. Well, I mean, you're saying that only because of the makeup, I guess, just because of the black eyeshadow. That you see him somehow as Pennywise? Is that what...
I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's just...
You keep saying that, because I'm like, every time you see him, he's kind of either unrecognizable, or he is a character that is so plain-looking that you don't even realize it's the same guy who did that.
What was the last movie we watched him in? Was it...
Well, a lot of people...
Barbarian?
Yeah, Barbarian, too. A lot of people are hearing us say that we think he's a good actor. We have watched a lot of things with him. He's in, was it The Devil All the Time? Was that is that what it's called? Not Devil All the Time. It's the one with Tom Holland.
What is that?
Where he, I think Skarsgård plays his father or something. And it's like, it's really good. So many good people are in that, and they all have really good moments in that movie. He's really good in that. But we also watched Castle Rock, and he was in Castle Rock, the television show that was like on Hulu and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did not last long enough, but every time he showed up in a scene, he was fantastic.
Yes. Oh, you were thinking of The Devil All the Time.
Oh, so I was right. I was the
name
I
said. Yeah, that's the one, Devil All the Time. But, yeah. I don't know, man. I just don't know. I just feel like I just don't want him to be I don't want his career to be hurt because of this. I mean, also, can we talk about his co-star?
I don't know. I haven't seen her. Like, I don't want to talk about anybody because that role is very small. Even in the original, it's there, but it's not really a meaty role. It's a tiny role. So if they expand on her a little more here,
they will.
There could be a possibility that it's interesting. I don't know. But there is, like, enough area there to expand upon to make that interesting. So I don't know. I mean, I hate to judge anybody just by a trailer.
You're right. I don't want to do that either because it makes me sound like an asshole. But I don't know. I'm just... This is just doesn't seem like my story that I love. And I hate when I hold things, like, in such a high regard and they get crapped on.
And I know another thing that really is going to make people not really want to see this or even care is that the soundtrack isn't what they remember or the rock and roll that they love. It's going to be what new music sounds like. And unfortunately, that's auto-tune and, you know, and layered, dragged out auto-tune lines. And that kind of sucks. And we don't want that, unfortunately. But it is what music is now. And so, you know. I think that is another punch in the wrong direction for many people.
Yeah. I don't know. I know I'm going to come out of this pissed off. I just know it.
I'm not going to be pissed off because either way, it's either we have such low expectations. It's like, am I going to be mad? No, I'm just going to be like, why did they do this? But then we said that for the last three Crow things. Like, there's been like five Crow movies and a television show. Like, people forget, you know, which is another thing that really bothers me. Everybody's like, oh, how dare they? It's sacrilege. Mm-hmm. They already made like five of them. Like, right. You know, it's like, this isn't something new.
Yeah, but I mean, City of Angels and what was the other
thing? It wasn't that good either, City of Angels. It was all decent.
No, but I'm just saying, like, they, at least they changed their names. That there was, you know, it was Vincent Perez, and he was, he became what he became because his son died.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a different take.
Oh, that one was at least trying to do something different. Yeah. But the television show was Eric.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And then, there, I don't know if the
Wicked
other
Prayer.
Wicked Prayer. There's another one too, right?
That's the one with,
is that three or four?
This is the third one. It's Edward Furlong.
Really? That's the third one. Yeah. I thought that was the fourth one.
And then you got, The Crow and Salvation. The Crow Salvation.
I thought that was three. So no, who knows?
That's the one after. That's Kirsten Dunst.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't seen these movies.
Yeah. Kirsten Dunst. I don't think I saw this one either. It's Eric Mabius. I don't know. I don't think I saw that one. I think I gave up after Wicked Prayer.
Yeah, I remember I saw the second one in the theater all excited and then just being like, eh. God, this is bad. I never saw either one of the other ones.
So, no, I mean, David Boreanaz is in Wicked Prayer.
I know. I want to see it. One day, I definitely want to see it.
Oh, and Tara Reid, you know, she's...
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So.
Well, all right. So what do you think your score is going to be coming out of this?
Oh, I'm going to come out of this with a solid 3. I can guarantee it.
I have a feeling that I won't hate it as much as other people are going to hate it. I have a feeling that I'll be like, it's probably a 5.
I don't know. I hope I'm wrong about the whole, like, the whole plot of the movie. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I can't just say the movie is what it is because of a 2-second trailer.
Yeah.
But what I saw, I was like, this is puke.
I didn't hate any of it. The trailer was like, it's mediocre. It's like whatever it is, but I just don't think that they should have kept the names of the characters.
That's what I'm saying.
I think they maybe should have just said different, and we would have been okay with it. But if you look at it from that standpoint, I'm sure it's not as bad.
Well, okay. Well, here's what I'm afraid of. I'll tell you, 100%. No, I am afraid that they are going to be, you know, crackhead criminal people, and they're going to be like bad people that fall in love together, and they get killed, and we're supposed to feel bad for them. But they're bad. They're bad people.
We don't... I mean,
that's
again,
what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Like, I felt the pain and anguish with Eric and Shelley in the original because they were in love and they were good people. But if these people are, like, drug-dealing criminals and pieces of shit, and what happens to them, we're supposed to feel bad about that? No. So that's why I'm a little nervous. So... hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they make it work. I know people are probably making fun of the lines like, you're my people, but I kind of like, I like it. I don't mind that. Like, I get it. Sometimes when you love somebody, you're like, you know, I finally felt like I found my person.
Mm-hmm.
I love that too. So I'm interested in seeing how this plays out. But I understand what you're saying. So
I don't want to come out all upset and like annoyed, but
I'm looking forward to it. Let's go see this movie.
When someone dies, a crow carries their soul to the land of the dead. But sometimes something so bad happens that the soul cannot rest. Until you put the wrong things right. You were given the power of a god. But you're running out of time to save her. I'm gonna kill them.
Every single one of them.
How many people have you loved?
I'll never be alone.
We're back. We saw The Crow. This movie was... Well, let me just say this. I can maybe guess your thought on the movie. Is your thought something along the lines of, why you all painted up for a crackhead? Don't you know that Halloween ain't till mañana? Is that what you're thinking right now?
I fell in love with you even deeper because you got the line exactly right.
So we saw The Crow, and I want to point out this. The movie was directed by Rupert Sanders, who also directed two other movies that are kind of reboots or remake movies. He did Ghost in the Shell, the one with
Scarlett Johansson,
and also Snow White and the Huntsman with Chris Hemsworth and Kristen Stewart. So, you know, he's kind of got like a track record for trying to do stuff that is really hard to remake. And in both those movies, didn't hate them. I actually think they're okay. So here we are with this movie, and I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, I thought that I was, well, I went in thinking that I was going to be like furious because I already had it in my head that I was going to just despise this. I will say this. There are a lot of really cool visuals in this film. I did not mind, or I should scratch that. I should say I did not hate Skarsgård. I did not hate him. I thought he had a bad haircut. But I did not hate him. I feel like he did a decent job with what he was given. However, I will say that I did not at all expect the two of them to have this situation. There was no chemistry between the two of them at all. But I will say another thing. I am not furious.
Yeah, so I think you were mentioning the actress, right?
Twigs.
Yeah, her name is FKA Twigs.
She's a singer.
Yeah, she's a musician, a composer. She was in Honey Boy, which I actually really enjoyed.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like she wasn't the best choice here.
But I agree.
I don't think the movie does her any favors, I think is the main word to use here. I do disagree in the fact that there is no chemistry between them, because what the movie is kind of like establishing is like two broken people finding each other, and they have a little playful chemistry on first meets, you know, glances, funny faces at each other or whatever. But I would say that the problem is that the movie doesn't grow on this. It just expects you to assume that that was enough and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame, because I think that that little bit of premise could have been expanded into making the movie work better. But then again, there's also other problems with the movie that are probably bigger issues. But I will say that in a pros category, there is some cool gore, there are some cool action scenes, and there's some attention to a little details like, you know, a gunshot in a car making his ears hurt, or actually feeling the character feel the pain of the wounds that he's getting. That's kind of cool. There's some stuff there that is like, you know what, that's interesting. Also, the movie tries to expand on the lore of Eric a little bit more than we've seen previously. I think the original Crow movie just kind of starts with these two characters, and we just see that they're, you know, a happy couple. And so when one of them gets brutalized, you automatically feel that you're in with this character for getting revenge. Because when you brutalize a woman in a movie, you get your crowd with you to stopping the villains. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I felt that because they had such good, like, okay, Eric and Shelley in the original Crow with Brandon Lee, I felt with... Even just the little flashbacks, even when he touched the ring and he was brought back to the time where, you know, she went up to the attic and found the ring, I felt more love and emotion in those flashback scenes that lasted half a second than I did in this hour and 51 minute movie with the two of these people. I just did not feel their chemistry at all. I didn't feel their love. I didn't feel their, like, you know, undying, you know, love for each other. I just didn't feel that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I was saying that it's not really expanding upon it.
No,
it
not
just
at all.
Assumes that what they do is enough, and then when they go on, it's just like more sexual chemistry, like just the fact that it's just two people hooking up. And it's not enough. And even when the movie skips forward a little bit, like it's been a couple months or something like that, they don't tell you that, but you know it's been a couple months or whatever. It's not enough. It doesn't establish it enough. But I will say, in the original, I don't feel like they even try to establish that. I think that you just start with it. And I think that what I was trying to say was, in the original, when you do something brutal to a woman, you automatically feel that guy's pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see anything like that, and there's an entire genre of action films that just use this premise.
Yeah.
Guy's going to go get revenge because a woman got brutalized. And you're just like, you know what? Kill them all. And you're in. And it tells you a little bit about us. It's like John Wick. They killed a dog. Oh, I want to watch him get revenge. You know what I mean? It's just simple. You don't really need much establishment there. You can make people follow your character's revenge plot line if you do something extreme. And I think the one of the biggest problems with this movie is that death scene isn't extreme. So when it happens, it does feel like it should be more meaningful or impactful or make us feel like we're in the moment with them and how horrible it is. But since we're not establishing these characters and there isn't that brutality scene, you're not feeling the revenge plot line. Because you either need to do one of the two things, establish mm-hmm. the love better, or do that thing that it's an extreme to get your audience following you.
Yeah. So like, but another thing is that bothered me was the plot, number one. I had a lot of issues with the plot, the direction that they went. I did not really care for that at all. I thought it was a little bit over the top. They added a little bit too much of the supernatural where they didn't
need
it.
This is funny. I don't know why that's a problem in a movie that's about a person coming back for revenge from the dead. With and in the original, the person had crow powers. You know, they could see through the eyes of the crow. By the way, a raven. I want to point that out. These crow movies do not like using crows. It's a funny ass thing. I can't unsee.
I thought the plot of the villain, I think that just brought me over the edge. And at one point, it made me stop thinking that I was actually watching The Crow. I started just watching a movie. I took it out of my head that we're dealing with Shelley and Eric. I just took it out of my head, and this was a whole completely different movie. And like I said to you in the beginning, there was no, you know, Tintin, Skank, T-Bird, none of that.
That's another problem with this movie is they don't establish the villains well enough to make you even understand the revenge.
Nope.
Movies like The Beekeeper get that better than this movie, which is kind of odd. I have to make a joke to you because I don't know if you feel this way too, but if this movie, if it told you it was in the Marvel Sony cinematic universe and this was a part of the Kraven and Morbius plotline,
I would believe it.
I would believe it 100%. Yep. If this was going to be a member of the Sinister Six, I think I'd believe it.
Yeah.
And I also couldn't help but think about the video game Devil May Cry.
Oh, my God.
DMC. I was thinking about that a little bit during this movie because I kept thinking, if the crow or the raven or whatever we want to say it is, the crow was taken out of the movie, would I even know this was a crow film? Because it doesn't really feel like it is.
No.
And it's not necessarily following the comic plot line either. So it's kind of an odd thing.
It's not following the plot line of the graphic novel at all.
Yeah, and I would say the original was very on the line with that too, though.
At least, but they did put in more effort to make it, you know, more faithful to the graphic novel. I mean, Brandon Lee's Crow was more faithful. It just was.
We talked about this in the before, but there's a character in the comic series that I think is the Skull Cowboy.
Cowboy, yes.
And that's kind of like the person who talks to him from the dead.
Yes.
And that was filmed but cut out of the original movie. They thought it was too much, which mm-hmm. is funny because there's a plot line of a girl cutting out people's eyes and somehow they know the crow's powers and how to take care of it. And, you know, it's kind of like it's still playing that line. So they felt like it was too much. So here, I thought they would use it clever and they would maybe bring it in. And again, they didn't do it.
Nope.
Which is kind of a shame because it could have really used a secondary character.
They had a middleman, like a guide, but yeah,
it sucked. It doesn't work. It's weird.
Yeah, I felt as though, I don't know. I'm going to tell you what my main problem is with these two particular versions of Eric and Shelley is the purity factor. I have a problem with that. I feel like, okay, what do you think, why do you think she deserves saving so much? I mean, she's not a great person. If she is a great person, why did they not establish that?
She is. We can talk about that. I don't want to go into plot.
But I'm just saying. I feel like, you know, him...
That's the whole point of the movie, really. But that's like a side thing. But I don't know why we feel like the original characters in the first movie are any purer. Because he's a rock star. I mean, you're telling me he's like a pure... Okay. No, come on.
He's not a rock star. He's in a band.
Yeah.
Hangman's joke, by the way.
I know.
Some trivia. I know. but he's not like, you know, a douchebag rock star. He's a regular dude.
But we don't get enough time with that even to establish if he is or isn't.
You're right.
Just assume.
But I just feel like, okay, there wasn't like copious amounts of freaking drug paraphernalia around him and Shelley in the original Crow.
I know.
Like they just looked like, you know, and... You'll have to see the movie. I can't say any more without giving away spoilers, and well, I'm not going to.
Let's do that. Let's go into a spoiler talk a little bit then.
Okay.
Want to do that? But let's give our scores our little tight little evaluation of the movie.
Okay, you go first.
Oh, I was just gonna say I think what I've already established was that the movie doesn't go far enough with establishing its characters, making things gel in a better way. But there are some pros with some decent shots, some good location shots. I don't know where they filmed the movie, but there's a lot of beautiful backgrounds. There's some clever stuff with music that could have been way better if it took the whole movie and used it. And there's some decent action with some... You know, clever kills and that kind of stuff that we're expecting from a movie like this. Do I think it is excellent? Absolutely not. Do I think it is the worst movie ever and it's blasphemy? No, I don't feel that at all. I think this is probably a mediocre 5.
Okay. Okay, well, I do agree with you. I think there was some really beautiful shots in this. There was a lot of action, violence, and gore, which we got some violence in the original, but we did not get this kind of gore. Not this level of gore at all.
Well, times have changed.
But right, yeah. But I really did appreciate that they put that level of gore in there. It was, like, pretty good. Music, there was some good usage of music. And I did not hate... Skarsgård in this role, like I said. I did not care for the person playing Shelley. I did not care for her at all. I didn't think that she would... I thought she was miscast. I don't think she brought anything to the table at all. But as far as cons go, that's a spoiler thing. So I have a couple...
Well, you have to give me a review.
Okay.
What's your score?
I guess I will say that it's the same. I will say that it's a 5.
It seems right.
Because I'm looking at it as not a Crow movie. I'm looking at it as a movie. Just a movie. You know, because can't.
You should never say a Crow movie.
Well, they're calling it the Crow. If they're calling it the Crow and they're naming these two human beings, Shelley and Eric, then if you're going to be naming them that and they're going to call this the Crow, then you should be a little bit more faithful to the goddamn graphic novel.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Like, we talked about this before. City of Angels and Wicked Prayer.
They
were different names. They were different people.
I agree, but there's always open to it, adaptation. Like there is a possibility to see it a different way.
Okay.
Let's get into spoiler talk. We're gonna try something new. We're gonna do a little bit of a spoiler talk now. So if you're not interested in the spoilers, and if you haven't seen it and you're gonna wait, then stop here and thank you for listening. So let's talk spoilers now.
All right, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
So, okay. You said that the character isn't pure or isn't a good person. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. The whole plot line here is that there is a supernatural character who's a demon who can whisper in people's ears and corrupt them. So the whole movie's kind of about grooming of young, innocent women who are piano players, apparently. That seems to be this guy's thing. And he turns them evil. So this character is only fragile and broken because of what her mother allowed and this person did to her. So she's broken because of that. When she meets Eric, he's broken. And which one of the things I like about this movie is that they actually establish a little bit of his backstory. And they have this really clever device that I liked in the movie, that they were trying to set up the fact that he is not a person who likes to harm people. He doesn't fight back. He does things because he grew up in a terrible life. His mother was a drug addict, apparently, and he was all alone. So obviously he turned to crime because of that, that upbringing. But he's one of these people who allows people to push him around. And there's this really cool thing that they start establishing, that he is thinking about hurting people. And he's second-guessing it. And Shelley comes into his life in that moment where he is thinking about killing people that are in the rehab that they're both in.
Okay, now was that rehab or was it prison?
I think they say it's a rehab.
Okay, because...
But it seems like a prison, a forced program.
How she ends up in there with the drugs falling out of her purse in front of the police, I mean, it was a bit much.
I agree. This opening of this movie is trash. The opening couple minutes with her is bad. It's the acting awful. Is bad. In fact, the other actress talking on the phone with her is better.
Yeah.
And it's one of those times where I watch a movie, I go, you should have this other actress swap characters.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from Shelley being completely miscast, I mean, I just don't understand why they picked this actress. I don't like it.
We both agree on that.
Yeah. I will say that they've established a facility where it seems like they're in prison or a mental health facility, whatever. Either way, it seemed a little too forced that the two of them were there together and they actually escaped and started a life together. Now, okay.
I like that. I like that they have like a meet cute in prison, in this forced facility of rehab. And they kind of connect over her realizing that this person is a person who's broken. And she kind of feels like a connection to him because of what she's gone through and her fears.
Oh, I get that.
And
yeah.
So what I like is that they do escape and then we can establish their bond. Unfortunately, the movie doesn't do this next part good, where the bond goes on. What I would have really liked, I would love to add this idea on the podcast of, we kind of talked about this on our 100th episode, thinking about it, is how could we fix this movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that this movie could have been fixed is if they cut forward in time and they're like, maybe change their names.
Yeah.
And they are hiding out, but they became like musicians because they kind of hinted at that. And it would have been cool to skip ahead in time. They're in love, and they have started a little band, like an indie cult band.
Yeah.
And they are making music together. That could have been a really cool establishment, not only of their love, but their connection. And they could have done something around that. And they could have made this movie play their music. Because I would have liked, there's a really cool part in this movie where the entire kill spree happens at an opera. And I wish the movie would have done more with classical music throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it connects to Shelley.
That was the best scene in the movie.
If we would have found this character found out that she was a classical pianist,
mm-hmm.
they could have really used that to have like a theme or have a thing that connected to him feeling her, and they could have played that. And I think that would have really made the movie more powerful with their romance, and them then really get us to feel
his loss. I definitely like that idea much better than what they did. So they escape from this mental facility or whatever, some prison, together. But don't you find it odd that they decided after fleeing for their lives that they would stay in the same exact town where the bad guys are, and
this is, yeah.
You know, and then they just cut to a shot of them hanging out with their friends, and we're supposed to, all of these scenes with them and their friends supposed to establish their love and their relationship together. Okay, fine. I don't feel a damn thing. I'm just like, okay, this is like two people just hanging out together. Great, super. But don't you think that it would have made more sense if they moved away, like, you know, abroad or something, and then rebuilt their life, and then these things happen to them? But what dumbasses stay in the same exact city as the people you're running from? I mean, the bad guys have people all over the city and looking for them.
Yeah.
They can find, you know, a freaking needle in a haystack. And you're telling me you're just going out to the club and no one's going to freaking find you?
Well, I do understand that they would have to go back to where they were, where she came from, because where else are they going to go? They have no money. They just escape. And with nothing.
And she's living in this friend of hers.
So they use their friend's penthouse, yeah.
Okay, come on. But you, still, how is she getting money? What is she doing?
Oh, I agree.
You know, like, who's paying for them to live?
Yeah, he gets another place. They're on the run, not only from these people, but the cops.
Yeah, and sorry, but...
it's not even established.
It's not established at all. They stay in the same city. It's so stupid.
Yeah, he gets a loft. What seems to be a mannequin factory, which I thought was going to play into the movie a little bit. No,
yeah, no.
It's just, in fact, one of the mannequins looks like there's blood underneath the sheet. Did you notice that?
Uh-huh, I did.
I thought that was coming back, but nothing ever happened with it.
It could just be a film flub from later on in the movie.
Or Argento film there, and it just left it. I don't know. It was weird, and it was definitely a missed opportunity. I would have loved if, because there's a really terrible scene in this movie, where they keep sending him to some kind of purgatory. Now, I don't mind the look of purgatory in here. It's okay. But the problem is we're sent there three times. And there's just a guy there. Just a random guy.
Yeah.
And it's nothing special. Now, if this was something creepy, like the Skull Cowboy thing, they could have done a lot with this demon-esque creature.
They definitely could have. But, you know, at the end, I thought it was like too, like... in your face and ridiculous, they end up being the EMT at the end of the movie.
Yeah, so the big problem here is that the questionable thing that happens in this movie is that he sells his soul to the devil. Well, this creature in purgatory who needs him to kill people to get revenge with the crow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a demon out there who is giving pure souls, corrupting pure souls, and giving them to the devil for eternal life. And so the plot line is that Eric needs to go and stop him to save his girlfriend. I don't really know what that would mean, but he says you can have your lives back. Well, he fails multiple times. Not because he's actually failing. It's just that he doesn't know what to do because he's not a fighter.
Right.
And that's why I'm a little mad. I like the establishment of setting up that he's not a fighter. And that he is getting corrupted. And I think not even corrupted, willing to sacrifice himself for something more than himself, like standing up for himself, not only standing up for himself, but standing up for Shelley.
Yeah. That's pretty much what the whole movie was.
It could have done that way better. I feel like that message gets lost very quickly.
It does.
And the character is asked to sell his own soul to bring back his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he willingly does this, and it seems to maybe have changed him, but we don't really understand how. We don't really understand what's going on. But when the end of the movie finally happens, we kind of get the idea that this might be a Jacob's Ladder scenario, where they were in purgatory from some kind of death experience. And we see that we have rewound time, because in the movie, Shelley has a funeral.
Yeah.
And so we see a whole bunch of things. But we rewound time where she's still on the floor of her loft. And he has died and she is saved. So you kind of get this idea that, is this like a Jacob Lassner? Was this all in their heads during death? Did they have an overdose?
Right. I was thinking that too. And also, can I just state for the record that I really don't understand the whole video thing? So there's a video of our bad guy whispering to Shelley to go and stab the girl. Now, what that would only really depict is that Shelley was a murderer. I mean, who the hell's going to believe that he is a freaking demon telling her to do these things and she just does it? It really doesn't implicate him at all. He's just in the video.
There's a shot of her with like white eyes and him like holding her after she stabs this girl. And you don't really know what's going on. Of sure, no one knows. And that actually is done on purpose in this movie, which is another plot point that doesn't really make sense or gel, because I feel like something was cut here. Because one of the things that's crazy is the way that Eric is told that he fails and needs to sell his soul to save her life is that he fell out of love with her because he saw the video.
And he started to doubt her.
He started to doubt her. And I'm like, I don't know if any of this works. There seems to be something missing to make this work. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, he never really gets the idea that this guy whispers and makes people do things. They're just kind of like hinting. He literally says to the guy, no, you corrupt people with your words. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know it's actually a power of some sort.
Right.
Even if it is, maybe this is just all, again, who knows, but
I mean, no, it doesn't seem like he knows that it's a power.
That's what I'm saying. So when he sees the video, he just assumes that Shelley has stabbed someone to death?
Yeah. That's the way. I mean, it's all you can assume because you can't see her eyes at that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. And why he automatically assumes, oh my God, my girlfriend killed somebody. And now I don't love her anymore.
Right. Well, it's not lack of love. Remember what the guy in the shadow world said? It's lack of doubt. Or it's doubt.
It's doubt.
Or it's doubt.
Yeah, you don't have pure love anymore. You're doubting your
love. You're doubting your love,
which is kind of like, none of that really works with such a short relationship.
No.
It's just like a new relationship, so of course people are attached. It's not like a serious like marriage or anything like that. That's what I'm saying. It needs to establish a lot more to make any of this work. So none of it kind of does.
Right.
But I don't think this is near the worst thing I've ever seen.
I went in thinking it was going to be just catastrophic.
Yeah.
But I always do that to myself because if it's something, a property that I love, you know, like aliens or whatever, I'm going to go in being like, oh, you know, just they're going to fuck this up.
Of course.
And the trailer did not do this any justice at all. Like the trailer made it worse, I think, because your initial reaction is like, oh God, these are two crackheads. Why do we care? And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I really am not going to lie to you. I don't care if Shelley died. I don't care. I did not care for her character at all. There was nothing there for me.
Yeah, I always talk about how important it is that you have some kind of establishment with your character to make them feel like real people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your whole hope is that a person will feel like empathy for a fake character in a movie just because they're a person who dies,
mm-hmm.
You would have to get us on board with that character.
That's right. That's
to
what I'm
feel
saying.
Like they're real.
Yeah. I had no reason.
And they don't do it well enough. And that's what I was saying before. They don't do it. Then there's no reason for us to even connect with that emotionally.
Right.
And it was funny because I think I was getting on board. I wish they kind of would have stayed in rehab for a little longer and had more of a connection.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I got to say, this guy has been doing this for, as he puts it, centuries, okay? What I was thinking of is, so what about his other victims? So there was nobody willing to avenge their death? There, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it was just because he was taking like girls that were young who were piano players, corrupting them in his little party universe, and then dumping them off. He was getting them to kill for him. And there's a part, and that's the thing. In the opening first kill with him, the villain, he says, you know, it never gets any easier killing. I'm not a big fan of it. So he makes people kill themselves or kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then he uses them to get their blood and also send their souls. It's odd that he's been doing it for so long. I don't even know. I
just think that plot line's ridiculous. I don't understand why we needed that plot
line. I understand that they want to do something to make this plot line of a person coming back from the dead make more sense, why they would have to. Like, why would God or the devil give someone that power? You know, and what they did here with that makes, at least it tries to make that make sense. Like, we need you to go get revenge on this thing. That there's something that we have lost control of. I just love that the guy's line, the guy in the purgatory says to him, something along the lines of, we lost control. He's taking pure souls and selling them to hell. That's something beyond heaven. So we need you to kill him.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that doesn't sound very godly either, does it now?
It doesn't. But, you know, my main problem is the plot and the main actress. Those are my two main problems. I there was other things I liked about the movie that I thought were, you know, pretty decent. But if they had just done the whole plot of where, like, you know, we see Eric and Shelley falling in love and then they are driving, and then they get carjacked, and that's when the brutality happens, and there are many different characters there involved in it, like in the graphic novel, I would say, okay, at least you're trying to remain faithful to something about James O'Barr's original vision. But they didn't do anything from James O'Barr's original vision at all. I mean, calling this The Crow, it's by name only. I mean, there's nothing that connects this with James O'Barr's original beautiful story. There's just nothing. And that's why I'm like, why do you even call it that? Don't call it that.
I do like a big part of why O'Barr wrote the whole book in the first place was around a loss, right?
He suffered a tragic loss. His girlfriend was killed by a drunk driver.
Yes. And so there was like a kind of a thought process in there of like that loss and like abuse and like the, you know, there's like parts of his depression,
yeah,
like all play a part of it. And so having the characters more about broken people, I felt kind of made sense to his story a little bit more. And I thought it could have played in two people who are broken finding each other and that broken person losing that piece that made them feel more whole. And I was like, they have something here. And I actually found myself going, oh, I like these little cute little moments with them in the rehab. I kind of was like, I like when they did this like thing where they were in a circle. If you want this in your life, step forward. Has this happened to you? Step forward. And they're stepping more and more closer to each other and they're staring at each other. And they could have done this great top shot that they're the only two in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that could have been really well done. And I'm like, I like what they're trying for. And I think it's working for me. It just doesn't go far enough with it.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have waited a little bit more and done more at the rehab or like I said, jump forward in their musicians or something else to make it a lot more of it make sense.
Yeah, I
just would have fixed this movie.
I feel like there wasn't enough heart in this. There was not.
It does feel heartless.
Heart in it this
does,
movie.
It does feel lacking.
Especially when you read the graphic novel and you watch, you know, the original movie. There's so much heart in even the original movie, you know, with Sarah and Officer Albrecht and just those characters that, you know, when he touches them, he feels Shelley. And just there's just so much heart there. Yeah. And this, I got nothing. There's no heart in this at all. There's just none.
That's something that's always been a little weird to me with the original movie is like the necessary need to have the young character and the cop character in a universe that feels very Gotham City. You have your Gordon and you have your Robin. It's like, it's almost like the writers didn't know how to translate it without doing that, because they know of that other comic book thing that's in big, you know, and they're like, oh, how do we make this make sense more?
Right. But I mean, it made
us get it, but it is odd.
It just made us feel like in the original movie, it made us feel like Shelley and Eric were such good people. They, you know, took care of Sarah. Her mother was a drug addict piece of shit, and she didn't have anyone, and she was like a street kid, and she loved Shelley and Eric, and they took care of her. And that was she gave a lot of heart to that movie. She really did. And
just she's us. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be us. We're following her version of what's going on.
Yeah. And, you know, even just, I mean, they could have done so much more in this just to make us feel something.
Yeah.
I didn't feel anything for these two people. I didn't give a shit, to be honest with you.
I think that the overall problem with watching movies that are based off an established product is that you're always going to compare. And I'm trying so hard to separate my idea from that. But when I'm just seeing what this person made or what the screenwriter wrote, and I'm just saying, if they would have tweaked some stuff, they could have made a good movie. Even with it being detached from the source material. Because I think that you'll, of course, there's no real reason. I think we talk about this all the time. It's like when Gus Van Sant tried to do Psycho. You know, he had a chance and he said, it would be a fun experiment if I just did shot for shot. And you're kind of like, yeah, the experiment came out with the solution that you shouldn't do anything shot for shot.
Mm-hmm.
You should grow and expand on a property to make it more of its own, something new, build from that. And so I do think that all things should grow. We see Iron Man was so successful because it grew from the source material.
Right. Yeah. And I understand that too. And I do have an appreciation for, you know, things that can evolve. I do appreciate that. However, if you're going to do that here, like I said, add a little bit more heart to this. I mean, that book was all heart, that, you know, it was just all heart. And so like, why you can't, like I said, if you're going to call it The Crow and you're going to add these two characters, and you're going to say that these are characters established by James Obar, then you should remain faithful to what he did and what he felt and his, you know, what he went through as a human writing this, that you should give it more emotion. And that's one thing that I would change.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Any other parting thoughts before we get out of this podcast?
I didn't hate it. I didn't like it either.
Yeah. I mean, we were with friends and they said that, this was terrible, just as worse than I thought it was going to be. And I'm like, there's no way it was worse than you thought of me. And I said, what if this was playing auto-tuned rap for the whole movie? Because I can think of scenarios that would have made this worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it didn't give me the feels that I wanted. It didn't. I just knew that was going to be the case, though. I went in knowing that. But I came out surprised that I was not enraged. Like, I'm not filled with anger and rage right now, because I thought I would be. But I'm not. I mean, it's like, whatever, you know? Like, I don't need to see this movie again.
No. No, definitely not. It's like, I give a 5 mediocre because it's one of those movies that I'm going to forget about. And it's not that it's not one of those movies that upset me or it's so bad, you know, whatever. No, it's a 5 because it's fine, but so fine in such a mediocre way that it'll just fade into the background.
Right. Yeah. That's, you just don't look at this as The Crow. You just look at it as a movie like I did. That's because it is. It's just lacking that heart. So you can't call it that. Sorry.
I'm going to stop the podcast now, right where you have already said The Crow is not The Crow.
I know, I said it about 13 times. You know what? You're going to hear it again.
No.
You are. Damn it.
Fives. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You know what? I appreciate you. That's all I'm going to say.
I appreciate you too.
I appreciate you for listening. I would love to hear your thoughts. Please tell me if you saw this, if you didn't see it, if you listened all the way to the end. What do you think? Do you like us doing spoilers? I'd like to hear that too. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening again, and have a good one. Bye.
You have no idea what hell awaits you. No, I do.